Welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast, a place where we put our finger on the pulse of what's happening in the world today so we can better pray for and equip the next generation. Our focus will always be revival and spiritual awakening in our children, our schools, and our motherhood. We're so glad you're here with us. Let's get started. Welcome back, friends. I'm your host, Leeneen Heiss, and I am so glad you're here. I can't wait to introduce you to today's guest, snowboarder, Olympian, and Moms in Prayer mom, Shannon Dunn Downing. Each week, we try to bring you content that spurs you on to pray powerfully and effectively for the kids in your life. We're thrilled to say this is episode 40, and we're closing in on 50,000 downloads. This momentum is happening because you are sharing and reviewing the Moms in Prayer podcast. You can do that every week. Your reviews on your favorite podcast platform like iTunes and sharing on Facebook and Instagram are helping to spread not just our podcast, but also the mission and vision of Moms in Prayer. This week, Sarah Elaine left a comment about episode 39, telling us how encouraging that episode was and how it gave her tools to move forward raising her five-year-old. Woohoo! You guys can hardly imagine what that feedback means to us. I usually tell people it takes moms about 3 times hearing about the mission of Moms in Prayer before they actually head to our website and find a group. Just this week, we had an online group of moms in Michigan begin discussing each episode online. We think that's so cool and an easy way to begin deepening relationships with other moms in your life. Praise the Lord. Without further ado, I want to introduce you to Olympian and Moms in Prayer mom, Shannon Dunn Downing. Well, Shannon Dunn Downing, welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast.
Thank you for having me.
We're so glad that you're here today. I know so many friends that know you in real life, and they were like, you are going to love Shannon. It's so fun to get to talk today. Shannon, introduce yourself and your family to our audience.
Hi, my name is Shannon Dunn Downing. I've been married to Dave for almost 20 years. It'll be 20 years this summer. We met 25 years ago, and we have 2 boys, Dylan and Logan, and they are 14 and 15 years old.
That's great. And where do you live right now?
I live in Encinitas, California, and it's crazy rainy here, which is rare, but this winter's been like a tropical downpour here.
Our audience may recognize you by your maiden name, which is Dunn. And the first time I heard that, I was like, that sounds so familiar. Why does that sound so familiar? And then it hit me. You are the first American woman to earn an Olympic medal in snowboarding. That is, first of all, awesome.
Thank you.
Shannon, tell me about growing up and about how your snowboarding career began.
I grew up in the suburbs of Chicago. And my dad was a hockey coach. He played hockey himself. I have an older brother. He was totally involved in hockey. And so we grew up around the ice rink, and my dad owned a few retail businesses in the ice rink. When I was 9, my dad got a job he just switched careers and got a job as a State Farm insurance agent. And then an opening came up in Colorado, and it was always his dream to move to the Rocky Mountains. And so we all decided to move, and my mom was working for the president of a paper company. She was like his right-hand secretary. And so we all moved, and Steamboat Springs was such a small town. It still is a small town. It's a ski town. But when we moved there, there was one stoplight. So it was such a shocker to just go from the suburbs of a big city to like a one light town in Colorado. So we just kind of just had to get used to that. And our family was into ice skating. I was really into gymnastics. They didn't really have any programs for either ice skating or gymnastics. So we decided to ski and immerse ourselves in what Steamboat had to offer. And in 1988, that was when I was 16, snowboarding became a sport that we could do on the mountain. We had heard of snowboarding before, just like, you know, you could go hike around and stuff, but the ski area first allowed it on their mountain 1988. And so my brother first tried it, then he taught me. I loved it, even though I could barely walk the next day because I was so sore from falling and learning, but I did love it. And, you know, my brother and I would go to like little small contests, and I think my claim to fame and my encouragement to continue competing was that I didn't get last in my first contest. And I was so surprised, like, what? I didn't get last? Okay, this is encouraging. That was fun.
I think it's going to be so fun for our listeners, some of them who've never done skiing or snowboarding before or can't imagine what that's like. But I grew up in Colorado, too, and we grew up on a mountain skiing. And so as I was reading your story, I realized that there was a time when snowboards became socially acceptable on ski slopes. And I was trying to remember where in my history that became true. So you just went straight to snowboarding then?
Yeah. I mean, I skied and I grew up skiing in Chicago, like when I was three. And then when I lived in Colorado, I skied. And then, yeah, snowboarding was just this new sport. And, you know, I say like it was first allowed on the mountain because a lot of ski areas did not allow snowboarding. And still to this day, there's a few that still don't allow snowboarding. And so it was like this fight between skiers and snowboarders. And there's even video, if you like Google it, there's the funniest like news footage of this new emerging sport, snowboarding, and like interviews of the people at the ski area saying, this is never going to last. They're just way out of control. They're obnoxious, and like kick them off the mountain. So it was really funny. And a lot of people, if you even said you snowboarded, they were like, snowboard. They didn't even know how to say the word. And it's just really funny to look back. Now it's an Olympic sport. Everyone loves it. It was like the most watched Olympic sport, even this last Olympics.
So here you are growing up and you've started competing. When did you know that this was going to be your thing?
I loved it so much when I first learned. I don't know what it was. I can't even tell you why, because I've always loved sports and been involved in sports just like casually and with my family. It's just part of our growing up. But snowboarding was just so fun. I don't know. Skiing kind of got boring because we just like see how fast we could go from the top to the bottom of the mountain. But snowboarding was like just more creative and free feeling. And then maybe it was like the culture as well. As anyone that snowboarded, you were going to be friends with. So snowboarding just had this small culture, and maybe that was a part of why I liked snowboarding also. But I actually just loved to do the sport, and my brother taught me, and we rode a lot, and then my best friend rode. So it was just fun.
When did snowboarding become an Olympic sport for women, and you were a part of that first group? So tell us about what happened around the time when you found out that you would be heading towards the Olympics.
Yeah, so snowboarding became an Olympic sport first in 1998, and that was in Nagano, Japan. Prior to that, you know, we had heard that maybe snowboarding was going to be an Olympic sport, and we're like, oh, that's crazy. Like, really? We couldn't imagine this little sport becoming an Olympic one. And then I was like, gosh, that would be so strange, because to me, Olympians were like just the highest trained athletes. And I just felt like in snowboarding, we hadn't gotten there yet. It's like, oh, I just work out and I do this for fun, but it's like, I'm not grueling in pain to get to the Olympics or anything. But they said, you know, snowboarding is going to be an Olympic sport. And there's also with that a huge controversy, because one of the top guys from Norway, he decided there is just too much politics associated with the Olympics, and he didn't want any part of it. And he thought it was bad for the sport. So he just was like, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing the Olympics. For sure, he was going to win. He had progressed the sport to what snowboarding is in so many ways. So he's like one of the most influential snowboarders in history, and he wasn't going to go. So half the industry was like, yeah, the Olympics is going to ruin snowboarding. We hate it. And then the other half, like me, I was like, I was just doing contests anyways. And I was like, I'm going to go for it, because why not? I'm going to just check it out and just take this as an experience. That's kind of the atmosphere during the time. But you know, qualifying that year, we had to do 5 events and they took your top 3 results. And so everyone was just kind of nervous, and all the competitors, they didn't know the team that was going to be picked until the last event, because all of us competitors were just kind of all over the place as far as results. So it was kind of exciting at the last event who was going to actually go to Nagano to compete.
Explain to us your parallel journey of faith during this time. When did you start to see your need for Christ, and how did that work with your snowboarding career?
1993, 94 was like such a big year for me in my faith. I just had like roller coaster life. I would describe it as like, you know, good and then bad. I was going to college part-time at CU Boulder University. I was going to school in the fall, and then the spring I took off to compete. And when I took off in the spring, since I wasn't going to school, the times where I came home to Steamboat, it was just so quiet. Like all my friends were gone because they were going to school as well. And so I just had so much quiet times. I was just alone a lot when I was home, and it just caused me to think about life. And I felt lonely too. And so it was a time for me where I just hit a low. I cried out to God, like, God, who are you? Like, I need to really know the real deal. I knew there was a God and a creator, but I didn't feel like there was any relationship there. I didn't know who this God was. And so I just cried out, God, I need you to show me exactly who you are. And since you made these trees, you made this world, I'm pretty sure you can show me. And then I also prayed, God, could I please meet my husband? I just felt like I didn't want to date anyone. I just wanted to meet my husband. I felt ready. And so I just pleaded with God, could you show me who he is? And it was 2 months later that I went to Europe on a photo shoot and I met Dave. It was just crazy, the circumstances of everything. But when we started hanging out, like, I knew that's who I was going to marry. And, you know, I remember calling my mom and crying and saying, I met, you know, my husband, I'm going to marry this guy. When I met Dave and we started going out, he was a pro snowboarder. And so we were able to travel together. I got on a new sponsor, Burton Snowboards, that became my new sponsor. And Dave actually helped me with that sponsorship. That was pretty awesome because Dave was a Christian. And when we met, we talked about faith or God. And I just asked him, like, could you get me a Bible? Can you take me to church? And so we kind of just started walking together in our faith. Even though he was a Christian, I would say we were both kind of young and I was new in my faith. And we kind of grew up in our faith together in snowboarding and obviously outside of snowboarding. But that was such a blessing to do something that we both loved in sports, and then in our faith, we could walk that together. So that's pretty special that we have been able to do both sport, faith, and just kind of journey our lives together. And then we got married in 1999.
I imagine that was quite an overwhelming time. Shortly thereafter, you stood on that podium and received an Olympic medal. And I wonder what that moment felt like and what you were thinking at that moment.
Well, I had such mixed emotions. One, my brother and my dad came to Nagano to cheer me on. And my mom gets so nervous that she's like, I can't do it. She just couldn't go over there, which is totally fine. But to have my dad and my brother waving the American flag in the audience and during the medal ceremony, that was just so awesome. And it was so fun. At the same time, you know, I got a bronze medal. And so at that time, I was disappointed too, because I could have won. And to me, I should have won. But it was just the circumstances and everything. You know, it was like we took 2 runs and they combine your scores. So my first run, I was in first place, and then I was the last competitor, and it just started like downpouring and lightning and thundering. They wanted to shut the contest down because it was dangerous, but, you know, it was like a few more girls had to go So I took my last run and kind of towards the bottom, I hit like this flush puddle, which kind of slowed me down, which I couldn't finish my run with the amplitude and everything. And so luckily I got third, which at that point I was like, whoa, I'm glad I even got a medal with that kind of run. It was like mixed feelings, but I had to kind of quickly like get a proper perspective, you know, like, hey, I'm at the Olympics. I got a medal. I maybe even shouldn't have got a medal. This is great. And then, you know, as time went by, I was like, in the end, it doesn't matter if you get a medal. Like, oh my gosh, especially being a mom. Being a mom is like, you get no medals and you're doing way harder work than any Olympian's ever going to do. And so now I just feel like that was just such a waste of a thought even, but that just comes from like experience, I think.
Well, not only are you a mom, but you're a Moms in Prayer mom too. So tell us how you were introduced to Moms in Prayer and what do you love about it?
So I was introduced to Moms in Prayer when my son was in my, well, both my kids were in elementary school and they had Moms in Prayer and I loved prayer and knew the importance of prayer. And so I was like, I'm in. And I just loved it. I love that it was consistent, that we were praying for our kids and every, we actually prayed for every student. We have had a list of the students and we'd go through and pray for each student and each teacher. And then just along with that, I was just, we were blessed just to pray together. And then I could get to know the other praying moms and we could just kind of walk by each other during those years. And I just stayed with Moms in Prayer. You know, my kids switched different schools and I could always plug into Moms in Prayer. And that was a consistent thing no matter what school they went to. And so we did Christian school and actually homeschool for 2 years and then public school now.
It's quite a journey, isn't it? Being a mom and making those decisions for your kids.
Oh, yeah.
So what commonalities are you teaching your boys about being an Olympian and the discipline that it takes to get to where you've been in your career and just kind of what faith takes?
I want to teach them like hard work, a hard work ethic. I think that's super important. But in faith, our works, it's different. Like our hard work is actually just sitting before the Lord. And that's what Dave, my husband, and I want to do first ourselves. Like we each individually need to sit before the Lord, read the Bible, and be very disciplined in pursuing God and His word and His truth and living that out. And then together in our marriage and then in our family and doing that with the kids, you know, and since they were babies, I've just wanted to pour God's word into them just by reading God's word, explaining it, you know, songs in the car. Now that they're older, we need to be even that much more intentional because of all the distractions. They have sports and school and they have their phones and all these distractions. So we have to just be disciplined even more. I could take off snowboarding for the summer, but like I can't take off God's word and I can't stop living God's word and getting together with other believers and praying. Like we can't stop. That's like water for us. And so just to be disciplined in that every day and putting God first. And how do we do that? And how does that look like when we're super busy and in everything we do? So that's important.
Shannon, what would you say to the moms who are listening whose kids want to do things that have never been done before?
I think it's really important to understand where your kid's coming from and just asking questions. Well, why do you want to do that? And what does that look like? And maybe the parents don't understand what this different thing is, but to have an open mind as to where their kids are coming from and really talk it through. You know, when the kids get older, they have such an awesome ability to analyze things. Or maybe they haven't analyzed it and maybe it's worth breaking it down and asking questions and understanding where they're coming from to have a good discussion and not just be like, no, you know, because honestly, like if my kid was like, I want to be a pro snowboarder, I could look at the snowboard industry and say, no way, that's like filled with ungodly people and blah, blah, blah. It's so dangerous. But Yeah, that's true. It's like both dangerous and filled with, you know, darkness. And there's not too many bright lights in that industry. But if God's calling you there, and it's also like how to be a light in any situation, like this, you know, being immersed in snowboarding's taught me like, hey, I can be myself and I can stick to God and his plan, not perfectly, but I can do it and I can be in a dark world. And that's, I think, what we're called to anyway. We're to be a light and salt in a dark world.
Are there any scriptures or things that you're praying for your kids right now?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, the Moms in Prayer is helping me so much on a weekly basis, because I pray scripture over my kids, and no matter how distracted I am, I try and make it there. And so I know once a week, at least, I'm praying truth over my kids beyond, like, I pray for my kids every day, but really with real intentional scripture over them. That helps me so much.
Me too. Every time I make the effort to go, I think, and well, not only do I pray for them in my little time, but we have set apart this hour to really commit to digging deep, just like you talked about. Mm-hmm. Shannon, I'm wondering if you could just pray for our audience that's listening as we wrap up right now.
Sure. Thank you so much. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time that we can honor you and just talk about who you are. And Lord, I just pray for everyone listening here that they would just seek you with all their hearts, minds, spirits. You are the treasure. And no matter what is going on in life, you are always available and always ready to just love on us and reveal who you are more and more each day. Help us to be disciplined even more than an athlete, just to seek you and find you in so many different ways, through your word, through scripture, through people, through their words, and just the little things in creation that you have for us. Thank you for Moms in Prayer. That just pray that you bless this organization and help women to just pray and seek you, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Isn't she great? We love being on this journey with you, friends. If you have stories about how God is working where you are, email us at podcast@momsinprayer.com. You don't have to be an Olympian to have a really great God story. Moms make the difference. Moms who do the work that make athletic training look like child's play. Moms just like you. Shannon Dunn Downing said so. See you next week.